You're listening to the Whole Hog Football Podcast, sponsored by Bud Anderson Home Services. Every Monday through Friday during the Razorbacks football training camp, bringing you the latest news, position analysis, and more. Here's your hosts, Matt Jones and Scotty Bordelon.
Now, we're really excited about the old Southwest Conference rivalry. Rice. We play Rice. Rice and then Texas.
That was Sam Pittman at the Little Rock Touchdown Club on Tuesday. He hears it. The talk is all about playing Texas week two, but the Razorbacks do have that game one opener against Rice in about 10 days at Razorback Stadium. Matt Jones joined today by Dudley Dawson of Hogs Illustrated. Sam Pittman doesn't want his team focusing on Texas, but today that's what we're doing. We're going to focus on the Longhorns part of our team preview. Later in the show, we'll be joined by Shehan J. Araja of Dave Campbell's Texas Football. He covers college football for that magazine. Dudley, you heard that clip. It's got to be hard right now keeping his team's focus on Rice, I would imagine, when everybody else wants to talk about what's going to happen on September 11th.
Yeah, and Rice hadn't had a great football program over the last few years, but they do have a lot of people coming back. They've got some good people at skill positions, and if you are not ready to play, then they will push you and maybe beat you. So you cannot overlook them, and I know it's hard. Back in the day when Newport was ready to play Batesville, we didn't look at Pocahontas, as a foe, but it's you just have to do it. And I know they're stressing it as much as they can. And I'm sure he was speaking to his team through the Razorback Club there yesterday.
So Dudley, you were at practice yesterday. What were some of your takeaways from being out there watching the Razorbacks on day 16 of the preseason?
Well, I think there's still far too many green jerseys out there, for my taste. But I do know it's a quandary for them. You got to get your main guys to the finish line now, or the starting line, I guess it would be, with the season opener with Rice. But there is a lot of young talent out there, and not only just the freshmen, and Keetron Jackson and Rocket Sanders and those guys, but it just is an overall better looking team. Now, you wish some of them were in those green jerseys, as I spoke of, but everything appears to be trending toward them getting in a situation to where, most, if not all, those guys are going to be ready to play on the September 4th.
There was so much talk coming out of the weekend about quarterbacks, particularly Malik Hornsby and how he looked in the scrimmage. What were your thoughts watching him and KJ Jefferson yesterday?
Well, both of them looked pretty good in the pocket and taking care of their business, although Hornsby did throw a couple of interceptions during the team period. But, one of those was a tremendous play by a defensive back. Hornsby certainly is quick. I mean, I can see why he got loose for the 80-yard touchdown in scrimmage the other day, or at least that's what we were told. But KJ has looked, pretty good back there as well. And the backup quarterback is always going to be the best quarterback on campus. That's just how things go. And fans, try to figure it out themselves. But I think both of those guys are turning into pretty good quarterbacks. I think obviously KJ is ahead, but Malik Hornsby, if they have to get to him, as Coach Bryles and Coach Pittman says, they will probably change the offense a little bit. But I feel pretty about as good as you can with two guys who really haven't had a tremendous amount of experience, going into this season.
A couple of newsworthy items that came out yesterday concerning the football program. The first was when Sam Pittman was in Little Rock, he said that there are now 11 players who are not fully vaccinated against COVID-19. And he made sure to hedge that by saying, the only reason I'm telling you this is because I want you to know that our players are taking it seriously and that we're not going to miss any games this season because of this virus. Now, we don't know what's going to happen with the SEC and what their testing protocols are going to be for vaccinated players against unvaccinated players. But, the point is, if you've got, say, over 100, which is what he said, I think he said, or I think he said 91% are vaccinated, and over 100 are now vaccinated on the team, 100 individuals, pretty good chances that you're not going to, miss a game a la North Carolina State in the College World Series. I would have to think that situation back in June had to have gotten the attention of players elsewhere, not only in baseball, but in sports across the board.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, I think as you look at this situation, it's hard not to make it a political football because the nation has made it a political football. But you've got to be able to be there for your team. And, you know, I think that a lot of people have either individual thoughts on whether they should get the vaccine or not. Clearly, most of Arkansas's football players have. It's interesting. Do you go into a game week with the guys that are not vaccinated? And I guess a few of more of them have had had the first shot, but not the second shot. Do those guys get the reps that you know, would normally give them if you know, everything was interesting? That's just another different element that all these college football programs, not just Arkansas, has to go in. But I think that's a great number. Obviously, we know you can still have breakthrough cases and things can come around like that. But I think they are doing the best they can to ensure that the vast majority of the team is ready to go. And you know, like you said, he made a clear statement yesterday that they're not going to have this around here. And I know that he's saying that as positive as he can, but you never know what's going to, you know, work out.
Well, in North Carolina State's situation back in Omaha, they wouldn't have been tested had, you know, everyone been vaccinated. So the more vaccinations that you have on your team, the fewer tests you potentially have. And obviously, like you said, you know, the fewer players that could miss. One other COVID, you know, related note yesterday, or two others, LSU said they're going to require COVID vaccinations or a negative COVID test within 72 hours of their games. And that's important in a Razorback context because Arkansas plays down there on November the 13th. So I'm sure we'll have some listeners who are going down to Baton Rouge for that game. Georgia, where Arkansas plays on October 2nd, said that they are going to have neither vaccination requirements nor negative test requirements. So it goes to show that these teams are definitely going to approach it differently. We really haven't been told how Arkansas is going to approach it. Their first game, of course, coming up in about a week and a half. Also of note yesterday, the preseason coaches, all SEC teams came out. There were three Razorbacks on the first team. I was actually really interested to look into this a little bit more, Dudley. Treylon Burks, Ricky Stromberg, and Grant Morgan were voted to the first team. Jalen Catalon was voted to the second team, and we'll talk more about that in just a second. And then offensive lineman Myron Cunningham and Ty Clary were voted to the third team by the coaches. Five of those players, everybody except Clary, had been voted to the media's preseason All-SEC team during SEC Media Days last month, but Burks was the only first team pick by the media. So it's interesting to me that the coaches have picked three players to the first team. It's the most first teamers Arkansas has had on the preseason coaches list since 2012, when they had Niall Davis and Tyler Wilson and a number of other players that season when they were ranked number 10 going into the preseason. Dudley, to me, this tells me two things. Number one, Arkansas has improved their talent, or at least their talent has gotten older and has certainly, you know, developed well. But I think it also maybe speaks to the fact that the coaches are really, they really appreciate the job maybe that Sam Pittman is doing with this program, because I think these all SEC picks, at least in the preseason, are a reflection of the programs that the coaches think the most fondly of.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I was a little bit surprised. I have great respect for Ricky Stromberg, and I think most fans do around here, but I didn't know he would get that much regional / national appeal. So that was great to see him on there. So, because that means coaches are watching film and figuring out, you know, what's happening with Arkansas. As you said, the fact that they won three games last year, which is not what they want to, you know, to finish with, but that they made an improvement. The fact that you have these six guys on this team, you know, is indeed a compliment to what's going on up here.
Well, six picks for the Razorbacks for more than eight other SEC teams, including Florida. You know, I mean, the top 25 teams, those were the only ones with more all SEC picks. Doesn't really mean anything. It just means that there's some respect in the preseason. Did mention that wanted to talk about Jalen Catalon for just a second. Just so people understand the way the coaches' teams are picked, you pick four defensive backs per team. You don't differentiate between cornerbacks and safeties. And so on the first team, there was only one safety, Malachi Moore of Alabama. On the second team, Catalon was one of two safeties, along with Jordan Battle of Alabama. So again, he's being mentioned among the best safeties. It's just a little bit different way that the media and the coaches pick their all preseason teams. I think if you ask anybody, they'll tell you that Jalen Catalon is right there among the best safeties in this league.
Absolutely. And I think he'll get an opportunity to show that again this year. Have great respect for him. And you kind of look back on that freshman year again and wonder how good he would have been out there as a freshman if, the former staff would have just got him out there on the field more. He certainly came in last year and was terrific. I expect that again this year. And, they get three guys out of his high school. He's turned out. One of them transferred away, and the other one is battling in the defensive line with Tarin Carter. So you got to give a lot of props for that particular class there.
Before we get to Shahan Jayaraja of Dave Campbell's Texas Football for his preview of the Longhorns, Dudley, I mean, obviously you grew up when Arkansas-Texas was the biggest game in town. Outside of the Texas Bowl in 2014, they haven't played since 2008. There's an entire generation of player or of fans and players too, who have not seen this Arkansas-Texas rivalry. And certainly it's been a long time, since it probably could be considered a rivalry, even though, within at least the Razorback fan base, it's still considered one. For people who haven't experienced this game, how would you explain what this game used to mean to Arkansas?
Well, when they were in the Southwest Conference, obviously Texas was the big boy on the hill, and your opportunity to prove yourself was against them. There were a lot of other, really good teams in the SWC, but Texas was the bell cow, and you measured yourself against them. Arkansas had times when they played really well against Texas, other times when Texas dominated the series, as you can look at the numbers and tell that was the case. But you're right. I have a lot of youngsters come up to me, and youngsters I'm saying under 40, who talk about, why is there so much hatred for Texas? I don't get it. And I kind of, the way I've kind of got it across to them, your rival in high school, the one you hated, well, this is basically the same thing. And yes, you play so many other games. You've got to win the other games to get where you need to get. But that was your measuring stick. And, I explained to them that there has always been a level of cockiness or conceitment or whatever you want to that came with Texas. I mean, they win a football game and everything you hear suddenly is Texas is back. Texas hadn't been as great during the last, since Arkansas played them last either. But they're expected to have a decent team this year. Whether they're back, we'll see. But there's just a hatred that built up. Part of it, in all honesty, was because you couldn't beat them enough.
One of my favorite social media accounts is a Twitter account that's called Is Texas Back? And after every game, it's either yes or no, depending on if they've won or lost. Dudley, before we get you out of here, your thoughts, you're going to be back out at the practice field today. What are you looking for?
Well, this is the last day that they will have just fundamental practice. They're going to move into Rice prep tomorrow. I'm sure they've done a little bit of that, but they're, saying that that's going to be full thing tomorrow. The first thing you do when you go out there is look who's out there, who's in a green jersey, who's maybe not been there. Will we see some of the guys that, have been injured step in and get some reps, or will that start tomorrow, or will that start Monday? Or will we see them at game time like we're going to see Dak Prescott in the first game of the Dallas Cowboys? So he's not going to get out and get any work, but at least a lot of the Arkansas injured guys have been in practice and got to work.
The Whole Hog Football Podcast is brought to you by Bud Anderson Home Services. Each day this week, we are taking a look at the Razorbacks opponents during the month of September. Today, we're going to talk about the Texas Longhorns. And joining me now is Shahan Jayaraja. He writes for Dave Campbell's Texas Football. I think they call it the Bible of Texas football down there. Picked one up this summer when I was in Waco. And I tell you, your content has been really great for me, a really great resource when reading up on three of the first four opponents, Rice, Texas, and A&M.
Well, I appreciate that. No, a lot of work goes into that magazine. For people who haven't seen it before, it's like a 400-page magazine. We give 5-page spreads to every FBS team. We preview every single high school team in the state of Texas. So it's a labor, but it's a labor of love.
It's a great magazine. If you get a chance, go to Dave Campbell's website and get a copy. The Longhorns are coming off a 7-3 season last year. They were 5-3 in the Big 12. That seems like an eternity ago with everything that's happened down in Austin. I mean, Tom Herman was fired. Steve Sarkisian was hired as the head coach earlier this year. And, the Longhorns are moving to the SEC. I don't think we can discuss the Arkansas-Texas game outside of that context that now this is going to be a conference game at some point in the next few years.
No question about it. And I think that for a lot of people are very excited about that. I'm sure up in Arkansas, I mean, Texas in a lot of ways is still the hated rival, right? And so I think it's going to be really good just to get that rivalry back. It's going to be good to get the Texas-Texas A&M rivalry back. For people like me who went to other Big 12 schools that aren't Texas and Oklahoma, a little disappointing, obviously. But you know, I think that while a lot of realignment has broken up rivalries like Arkansas's move to the SEC and Texas A&M's move to the SEC, that is the one nice part about it, is that you get a little bit of regionality back with Texas now reuniting with these foes.
How surprised were you when you heard the news this summer that Texas and OU were going to make that jump?
I was surprised that it was so definitive, if that makes sense. I think that I am not surprised that they looked around. I'm not surprised that Texas decided to leave the Big 12, but I was a little surprised that they were so decisive about wanting to go to the SEC. Not because I don't think that they might not have eventually made it to the SEC, but I thought, one, that this was a conversation that was going to happen 2 to 3 years from now. You know, I thought maybe summer of 2023 might have been the moment that we heard about this. And maybe that might've been the case if whoever leaked the news didn't leak the news, right? I think that really sped things along. And the other side of that is just, I mean, Texas doesn't like taking a backseat to anybody. So I thought that there was a chance that they'd explore going independent or joining the Pac-12 or some place where they'd be able to still kind of have a stranglehold on the conference. The SEC is not going to be that. I mean, they are a big brand, but they are not going to be the biggest brand in the room. And I think that's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for them.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it was that way in the Southwest Conference, too.
Right.
Let's talk about the Longhorns roster. Obviously, the big storyline this preseason is the quarterback battle. Casey Thompson had the really nice game in the Alamo Bowl last season. Is it a foregone conclusion that he's going to be the quarterback? Well, take us into that battle.
Yeah, both quarterbacks are still very much active in that battle. They're still switching reps. Casey Thompson, I think a lot of people think, is the presumed starter. Like you mentioned, he had a great Alamo Bowl, but it does come into account that this is a new coaching staff. So, you know, maybe what he did in the Alamo Bowl doesn't mean as much when you have a new staff and a new system. But the biggest thing that I think Casey Thompson showed in the Alamo Bowl is that he's got the arm. He can stand in the pocket. He can deliver it. He can make big plays. He can make plays with his feet, of course. And I think that's one of the things that they like about Hudson Card, too, is that Hudson Card, actually, when he was at Lake Travis early in his career, because Lake Travis is such a good quarterback school, he actually played a lot of receivers. So he is very mobile for a quarterback. And I think that that's going to give both of them a really good opportunity. You know, Thompson, again, has been in the program a couple of years. He's paid his dues. I think that he has good relationships with the receivers. I think that gives him a little bit of a leg up. But, I mean, this battle is still very much open. They're still alternating reps, as far as we know, in camp. So we might not figure this out until maybe Monday of game week, if even that.
So much of Texas the last few years was around Sam Ehlinger. I mean, it was like he was the face of the program, obviously. How big of an adjustment is that this year, not having him on the team?
Yeah, I think it really is that leadership gap, right? Not because the other guys can't step up and fill it, but because Sam was that kind of presence. I mean, we've even seen since he's gone to the Colts and the way that he's been so outspoken and the way that he's really composed himself, you know, in the wake of obviously tragedy as well. I mean, he's a special personality. We got a chance to profile him back in 2019 for the cover of our magazine. And I mean, he's different. He's a special kind of kid. He's very professional. And I think that that's not to say that nobody else can step up into that role. But yeah, I mean, like you said, he's been the face of the program in a lot of ways for the past couple of years. This is going to be a new era. And I do think it's going to probably come with a couple of speed bumps.
Obviously, Tom Herman was known for offense, Sarkisian known for offense as well. How much different is this offense look from last season?
Yeah, I think it's probably long-term going to look pretty different. Short-term, I think that it's going to be an adjustment process as Steve Sarkisian tries to figure out what he can do with this talent and also what he can kind of get away with in the Big 12. Because, I mean, I do think it is important to remember, like, the Big 12 is built to stop these high-powered offenses. You know, that's one thing that you say about the Big 12. The talent, obviously, is not the same level as the SEC, but the coaching innovation is in a really good place. And so the reason that Iowa State has been able to become a national power is because of their innovations on the defensive side of the ball. So I do think that long term it's probably going to look pretty different. It's going to look more similar to the 2020 version of Texas's offense with the sort of downfield passing attack. I think that Steve Sarkisian wants to do that. I think that's a critical part of his system. I this first year, because I don't know if they have the wide receivers, I don't know if it's going to look a whole lot different. You're going to see less quarterback run because, you know, Sam Ellinger was more of a short yardage quarterback run type. And these guys are a little bit more shifty, I guess you could say. So I don't think we're going to see as much of it. This first year, especially, I think we're going to see a lot of running because Bijan Robinson is in that backfield and because they do have questions at receiver. So long term, I think it's going to look pretty dang different, but short term, I think it's going to be a lot of let's just figure out what we can do best and kind of lean on that.
I've always thought whenever you're breaking in a new quarterback that the most important thing to have is an experienced offensive line, and they've got it with four starters back, and not just starters, but I mean, I look at this two seniors and two juniors among those starters. How strong is that group?
Yeah, it's going to be very strong. And I think that the addition of Kyle Flood as offensive line coach is going to be huge, you know, both again in the short term and in the long term. I mean, this is a guy who's developing and recruiting guys at Alabama, right? I mean, so he's officially the offensive coordinator, but Steve Sarkisian's expected to call plays. So he will have the ability to kind of focus on that offensive line group. And obviously he's done such a great job with that group at Alabama. And even before that, I mean, in all of his previous stops, offensive line has been what he's known for. And so I think that this has the potential to be a really strong group. You mentioned, not only are you talking about bring back seniors, you bring back a couple of fifth-year seniors as well, guys who came back with that extra year of eligibility. And I think that they feel like they have the ability to shift some guys around, try some guys out. They have some underclassmen who I think have the chance to be really good as well. So this might not even be the final group that you see by the end of the season. I think that some guys could push for playing time. So it'll be a little bit of an adjustment period as guys try to figure out this new system early on, but the talent and experience is definitely there.
You mentioned Kyle Flood. When he was at Rutgers, Arkansas played them a couple of times and lost those games. And I thought that team kept the, you know, kind of the physical nature that Greg Schiano had established there at Rutgers. It seemed like, you know, there was a lot of physicality in those games. Let's move over to defense. Obviously, that's kind of been, I guess, the bugaboo, if you will, for Texas the last few years. They found themselves in a lot of high scoring games, not unlike a lot of Big 12 teams that you cover. What do you foresee from this defensive unit that only returns four starters?
Yeah, there's a lot of talent, right? And that's the thing you're always going to say about Texas. There's a lot of talent. But, you know, I think that they do have some returning experience in some key spots. At linebacker, I really like DeMarvion Overshown. I mean, he played safety a lot early in his career, but moved down to linebacker and it was just a natural fit. He's really a hybrid type player in that role. On the defensive line, they return a lot of experience. That's really where they return the bulk of their experience with Keandre Coburn, Moro Ojemo. One guy who I think people need to really keep an eye on is Alfred Collins, who played really well as a freshman last year. And then on the back end, I mean, you're going to need to see some improvement. You're going to need to see some development. Deshaun Jameson is the one guy at cornerback who you really feel good about, but then it's going to be a lot of who's going to start alongside him at cornerback, who's going to start at safety. So that's where the real concern lies to me, is that back end. They have the talent. They've recruited at a very high level. And the other thing too, is that Pete Kwiatkowski's defenses, they're characterized by great defensive back play. So again, we'll be year one. I feel like I'm coming back to that over and over again, but right, there's going to be some stuff that's going to come along in year one. Year two, year three is really when we're going to start seeing the effects of that coaching.
Kwiatkowski, of course, the former defensive coordinator for Chris Peterson at Washington. Special teams, Cameron Dicker, he's been the difference maker in some of their games. I think about the Red River game a couple of years ago that they won in Dallas on the field goal that he kicked at the end. That's a big weapon for the Longhorns.
No question about it. I think that their special teams are in a great place between Cameron Dicker at kicker. He's been running some at punter as Ryan Buchetsky comes back from injury, but Ryan Buchetsky has also been really good for them the past couple of years. So, and the other thing too, is that you bring in a guy in Jeff Banks who really knows his way around a special teams unit, right? I mean, he's known as a recruiter, but he does a great job in special teams. And the other thing you mentioned too is that Blake Gideon, who's their defensive backs coach, he also has experience as a special teams coach as well. So I do think that signals to us that special teams is going to really be a priority for them, not just in the kicking and punting game, but also in terms of playing starters on coverage teams and stuff like that to try to get the most out of their units.
We played a clip earlier from Sam Pittman reminding the Little Rock Touchdown Club yesterday that they're going to play Rice before they play Texas. It's a little bit different for Texas because they start with Lafayette, who's ranked in the AP Top 25. This is a really interesting game for them to start out before they come to Fayetteville.
No question about it. I mean, I think that Louisiana proved last year that they are able to hang with Power 5 teams. They obviously beat Iowa State, who Iowa State ended up being the team that finished first place in the Big 12 heading into the conference championship game. So this is not a team that is scared of playing against good competition. And the other thing that you say about that team, too, is that, you know, their offensive line coach last year, Rob Sale, he's now coaching with the New York Giants. Like, he was a really, really good developer of offensive line talent. And when you look at Louisiana, that's really what they do better than anybody is, yes, they have an innovative offense. Yes, they use a lot of misdirection, but they also have some dudes up there on the offensive line. So it is going to be a tough battle. The one thing that you say is that at least Texas is that one type of you know, Big 12 team, Power 5 team that has real talent on the defensive line. So that's the hope, is that they can kind of win in those trenches. But to have to start with a game like Louisiana, to start the Steve Sarkisian tenure and then have to go to Arkansas, I mean, I think that I said it heading into the year, right? Because they play Rice in week 3, and then, you know, they'll play Kansas, who they should beat. The other 10 games are all very losable, and that's going to be a real test, I think, for Sarkisian in his first year.
And we'll end on this. I wanted to come back to the Arkansas game because I do agree with you. I think it would be an upset if Arkansas beat Texas, but I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility because you're talking about a first-year coach bringing in a new quarterback on the road, you know, in their first game. It seems like the recipe is there that if Arkansas were ever going to beat Texas in Fayetteville, this would be a really opportune time.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I mean, coming off that first game, like we mentioned, and I think that the other thing too is that, you know, Arkansas, as long as they get the quarterback position squared away, I mean, you can attack that secondary. And we've obviously seen with the receiver talent that Arkansas has, and also the running back talent as well, that, you know, they can break off for big plays. That's what this offense is built around. And defensively, I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility, whether it's Hudson Carter or Casey Thompson, that there could be turnover issues. And we saw, especially earlier in the year last year, how good Arkansas was at forcing turnovers. So that's going to be the thing, right? You have to win the turnover battle and you have to hit on a couple of big plays offensively. But both those things are very possible. And Arkansas is not going to get bowled over, right? I mean, this is a Sam Pittman team. They're going to be able to hang with both sides of the ball on the lines. And so that's the path. Hitting a couple big plays, forcing a couple turnovers. Definitely you have to kind of keep Bijan Robinson in check too, which is easier said than done. But I definitely think that there is a path for Texas to potentially lose this game in Arkansas to win.
Dehan Jayaraja covers Texas for Dave Campbell's Texas Football. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
Go to WholeHogSports.com for the latest news on the Razorbacks. We'll be back with another podcast on Thursday previewing the Razorbacks Week 3 game against Georgia Southern.
The proceeding has been a production of WholeHogSports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at WholeHogSports.com for the latest news and commentary.